Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker. The trial of convicted Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev is nearing its end. Both prosecutors and defense attorneys rested their cases today, calling some key final witnesses, including one who says she saw Tsarnaev express remorse. WBUR's Jack Lepierre was in court today. Hi there, Jack.
Hi, Deb.
So let's start with Sister Helen Prejean, the prominent death penalty opponent who testified today that she met with Tsarnaev in prison, and he appears remorseful?
Yeah, Prejean said she's met with Tsarnaev about five times since early March, essentially since the trial started, and they've talked about everything. They've talked about religion. Remember, she's a Catholic nun. Mm-hmm. He is a Muslim. They've talked about differences in religion. They've had disagreements, she said, but she said all of those disagreements have been respectful. But the key point of her testimony and the reason she was on the stand for the defense is one conversation they had about the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. And Prejean says that Tsarnaev told her in relation to the marathon bombing victims, quote, "No one deserves to suffer like they did." That is the only sense of remorse and limited emotion that we've gotten from Tsarnaev this entire trial. Remember, for almost the entire set of testimony we've seen, Tsarnaev has been staring straight ahead, playing with his beard, playing with his hair. We have not seen anything along the lines that could even be interpreted as remorse in court.
So how did the government respond to her saying this about Tsarnaev?
The government responded trying to give the jury questions about her motivations. They established that she is a strong opponent of the death penalty. They established that she is a very prominent opponent of the death penalty. They established that she is she generally essentially makes her living by speaking and writing about the death penalty and in opposition to the death penalty. The defense was able to counter that by asking her on redirect, is the defense paying you for your testimony today? And she said, quote, "Not a dime." Is the defense paying your order, the Sisters of St. Joseph, for your testimony today? Not a dime.
After Prejean's testimony, the government then presented rebuttal witnesses as well, and they focused on what Tsarnaev's fate would be like if he's sentenced to life in prison. Why did they go that route, Jack?
Well, because we heard a lot of testimony in the defense phase of testimony about this prison in Colorado, the ADX, and essentially how difficult Tsarnaev's life would be, 23 hours a day in solitary confinement, one phone call a month, 15-minute phone call a month to only pre-approved family. So they brought in John Oliver, the warden of that prison, to say, well, those are the initial phases, but you can move up. You can move to phase two or phase one where you get two phone calls, then to phase two where you get three phone calls. You get a little bit more rec time. And it is possible that over time, special administrative measures, SAMs, restrictions on Tsarnaev, might be lifted. He might be moved into general population. But the defense was still able to establish general population of this prison. Still, you're in your cell almost the entire day, and when you're out of your cell, you're shackled, you're accompanied by two prison guards.
And what's next in this case, Jack?
Closing arguments on Wednesday, jury instructions, and then we go to jury deliberations.
All right. WBUR's Jack Lepierre, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.